thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
In Hebrews chapter 11, it's a chapter that talks about faith, and most of us know that. But let me kind of tell you what led us up to this. As we were approaching 2014, it's just a natural thing to think about, what are you going to do new in 2014 that you didn't do in 2013 or before? That's just, everybody does that. That's why they call it New Year's resolutions and things like that. You try to make a list of things that you do. So it's a natural tendency, and even we as a leadership team and teaching team, we came together, and as we prayed several months ago, how do we want to look at 2014? What do we believe God's going to do? Is he going to do something different? Well, he's going to do some things the same, but are we going to face different challenges? Some of the challenges are going to be the same, but what is it? What kind of challenge do we want to put before each and every one of us, something that we can strive for? Where kind of messages will really help us to grow on our faith, really grow on our faith. So as we looked at it, we came up with a working title that was just called, listen, initiative. You've got to take the initiative if you want anything to happen in your life, if you want change to take place, if you want to better your life, if you want to have a better family, if you just want things to work out a little bit better. You just have to take the initiative. So rather than use the word initiative, we thought a better word to use was the word start. You've got to start somewhere. So the very step of starting, it gets you going the right way. Now, as I was sharing that message with someone, there was kind of a little bit of pushback and said, well, you know, starting's good, but the problem is people don't finish what they've started. And I thought about that for a moment, and you could certainly have a whole series on what it means to finish well, what it means to persevere and push through and fight the battle and all that. But then as I came back on, I thought, you know, if you don't start, how can you finish? So the natural step is get going, and then let's worry about how we're going to finish it, okay? So we're going to start this year out by talking about start. And so if you look at your notes, and as we look at the book of Hebrews, we're just going to make our way through a lot of the scriptures in the book of Hebrews, but we're going to look at the subject of start, and we're going to look at it kind of like an acronym. We're going to S-T-A-R-T, and there are five principles that I believe, biblical principles, that if we apply to our lives, it's going to get us going in the right step, okay? And that's what it's all about, taking the initiative. Someone said that everyone who has ever taken a shower has an idea. Think about that for a moment. Isn't that true? You got a lot of ideas in the shower. It's the person who gets out of the shower, dries off, and does something about it who makes a difference. There's a whole lot of ideas floating around out there, but you got to take an initiative. I also heard that needs are the mother of invention. And that's certainly true when you see a need and people begin to think about how to meet that need. But millions of people have had a need for a light bulb. But only one person took the initiative to do something about it, and Thomas Edison. And not only did he do something about it, but after 1,000 attempts of coming up with the light bulb, we have it. So someone had to take the initiative. Someone had to start and go for it with that idea. So here's the challenge today for us. And here's what we have to be careful of. As we talk about taking the initiative, starting out on the right foot for 2014, it's easy to kind of entertain, even subconsciously, well, maybe this is for someone else. Yeah, I think it's a good message, but maybe it really doesn't apply to me. Well, it does apply to us. And I'm not just going to talk about that you should start a new diet, you should start a new exercise program. All those things are given. All of us need to start new diets, all of us need to start exercise program. But let's bring it in, let's bring a little spiritual perspective to this. How about just starting where the rubber meets the road and just being a better husband? I want to start this year out by thinking of what would make a better husband out of me. What are the little things that I could do? Or a better wife? Or not just talking about couples, but how about as a single person? Just taking a look at it and saying, okay, I'm on this journey with Jesus. What will it take for me? What do I need to start in 2014? Take the initiative to do that will bring me closer to the Lord in my walk. What is it that I should do with my thought life? What is it I should do with my attitude toward other people? So let's bring it down to a level that where we live, but also personalize it and say, Lord, there's something you probably want me to start that is not only going to make a difference in my life, but everybody around me, whether it be family members or people you work with, or what as a result of all of us taking the challenge of starting that it will make for a greater ministry that we have here in our community. Outreach will just be enhanced as a result of it. So as I go through the message, I'm going to remind you of that several times. So first of all, let's look at number one, or let's look at S. You've got to see the future. If you're going to accomplish anything, first of all, I think you have to look up and take a look at 2014. Oh, by the way, this is our Faith Bible Chapel, Vanna. I mean, it's just this is she's going to do the letters today, and they're just going to pop up. And how many appreciate our Vanna? Thank you. You got a little bit of like, I don't know what that meant, but you got to see the future. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 in the very first verse. Most of your translations say something like that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Here's the Amplified version. It says, faith is the assurance or the confirmation, I like this, the title deed, of the things we hope for being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of the reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. What is it that makes faith so important to God? Because verse 6 of that same chapter says that without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So what is it that's important to God? Because when we talk about the subject of faith, or we talk about starting out, we're going to see these examples, how they took the initiative, they started as a result of, they changed literally the world, and we're here today as a result of it. What is it about faith, though? You know, see, faith, you don't have faith in faith, or you don't have faith in your own ability for 2014 to make changes, but we have faith in God. Our faith is in God. Our conviction is that God is able to do above and beyond what we're even imagining in our hearts. That our God is big enough and he has enough control over the universe and he is everything that he said he is, plus more than that. And we have faith in that God. So for 2014, doesn't matter what has happened in 13 or 12 or 11 or the infamous 08, and everything that happened in our economy, it doesn't matter to God. He's still big enough to make 2014. Everything that you need will be met. Do you have that kind of faith? That's the kind of faith that God wants us to have. So as we talk about this, think about it. Verse 10 says Abraham, as our example, was confidently looking where forward. He was looking. He was seeing the future. From the moment that he was called, there had to be some conviction in his heart that what God was calling him to, he saw into the future as that will be a reality. That can be a reality. When Abraham was called to separate himself from Lot, right after that, God said to Abraham, look up. He said, look up and look at the land before you. It's kind of like, look at 2014. He said, look at it all. He said, I have given it to you. Now walk it. Walk to the north, the south, the east, and the west, and as far as you can see, and I really believe that there's something in that, is that as much as you can believe for 2014, God can bring it to pass. He will make 2014 everything you expected, or even more than that is what he expected. Verse 13, talk about all of those that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. These all died in faith. That's a real powerful verse there. They died in faith. In other words, they had faith all the way up till they died. not having received the promises, but having seen them. Say that, seen them. They saw the future, having seen them afar off, were assured of them. So they not only saw them, but they were assured of them, embraced them in such a way, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Man, here were people who heard and were moved by the Spirit of God to believe that they could have a better future, to believe that God had something better for them. And all of their lives, they walked in that belief. They walked in that conviction. Conviction is something you have deep down in your gut, something that you live by, something that you make decisions according to your conviction. They had such a conviction that what God said about them and about their future, they believed it. They not only believed it, they embraced it. And although they embraced it up until they died, not receiving the promises, they still had a rewarding, filling, abundant life. And that is the real key. It's not that if God doesn't do it in 2014, it's not going to happen, therefore I'm going to give up and pull back. It's that you live it out so much so that if it doesn't come to pass in 2014, what you're believing for, you still believe that it will up until the day Jesus takes you home. That's faith. That's a conviction that we can have in our heart. Paul, in Philippians chapter 3, he was a man who accomplished much. You can say his years up until he found Christ, he did a lot. I mean, he did a lot as far as self-motivated. He did a lot as far as worldly standards or even the religious standards of that day. He had reached the heights. But when he found Christ, something happened. Something happens when you find Christ. Something happens when you make a decision to follow Christ. It's as if God wants to say, okay, that's the past. Now I'm going to give you a new life. And this new life, and it doesn't mean that God won't use some of the things that happened in the past for his benefit, even in your future, but he saw the future as something new. So he said, I press now toward. I'm reaching forward. Or he was seeing the future. And you know what he called it? It's a sign of maturity. Seeing the future, seeing through the eyes of faith, is a sign of maturity that you've come to the place in your walk, hey, I believe God's big enough. I believe God's powerful enough. You want to set a goal that is big enough that in the process of achieving it, you become someone worth becoming. Seeing into the future means have a goal. Begin to identify something, some area that you need to start moving forward in, some area that you need to take an initiative to improve in your life. The goal itself and the process of reaching the goal is going to improve your life. It's when you don't have a goal that you have a problem. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18 says, without a vision, the people what? Perish. Notice what the word perish means, that you lose restraint or uncontrolled. If you don't have something ahead of you, if you're not seeing 2014 with the future, and this is what, not only do I want to start, but I want to see God really work in me in this area. I want to see some changes, God, by your Spirit. That puts parameters on 2014. So you're not, if you don't have any parameters, the walls are down, it's like you'll be all over the place. But the parameters alone, seeing the future, setting a goal before you is important. Second of all, T, take a risk. You're going to have to take a risk. By faith, it said that Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Now, if you talk about anybody who took a risk, how many know Noah took a risk? Let me tell you what kind of risk that he took. Here he is, he hears from God, you're going to build an ark because it's going to rain. First of all, it hadn't rained. The world at that particular time was, the moisture came from some kind of surrounding around the earth, and all of the plants and everything were kind of fed by this moisture from this surrounding, so it hadn't really rain. So when he goes and he tells, listen, it's going to rain, first of all, they're going to say, what? And Matt, by the way, I'm going to build an ark. He took a risk. He paid a price, but he took a risk. Are you willing to take a risk to bring change about in your life? That's the question. The example before us is Noah. How about Moses' parents? When Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. Put yourself in that place. They're living as slaves. Pharaoh's edict went out that all of the midwives, they would help the Jewish people have their children. They said, listen, here's your instruction. If you see a male child, kill it, drown it immediately. Take and drown that child. Well, first of all, the midwives took a risk by disobeying. So something about the Jewish people that influenced them to bring them a point to take a risk, but the parents took a risk. They not only hid the child for 3 months, but after 3 months, moms, I'm talking to you right now. How about if you would take your 3-month-old baby and put it in a basket and send it down the Colorado River? That's a risk. But the parents knew that God has something special for this child. Listen, God knows 2014 already. And when you take a risk, it's just like you think you're out there on a limb by yourself, but you're not. God's the support of that limb. If he's called you to do something, when it gets down to being a better husband or being a better wife or just as a young person, just setting your focus on Jesus more than you ever have, just reading the Word of God more than you've read before, just reaching out to a neighbor, taking a risk and reaching out to a neighbor. Listen, God's going to be with you. Will Rogers put it this way. Even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there. Huh? There are a lot of people in here today that you're on the right track. I mean, you made a decision to follow Christ. You're here today. You've made that commitment to be here today. You're somewhat, something in you is saying, I need more. I want to learn. I want to follow Christ. But if you're just sitting in one place and you're the same place in 2014 as you were in 2013 and before that, you're going to get run over. So it's more than being on the right track. It's starting and do something. Probably one of the most sobering, and there are several sobering things Jesus said, but in Matthew chapter 25, he talks about, he gives a parable, and a parable is always a teaching about the kingdom and some of the principles that we need to live by. And it's this master who owns a lot, and he's going to go on a journey, and he gives talents. He gives his finances to three different people. He gives 10, 5, and 1. And when he goes, he comes back after a period of time and he calling them into accountability. And the 10, of course, used the 10 and got 10 more. The 5 used the 5 and got 5 more. And the one talented man came and said, hey, listen, I just hid mine. I want you to think about this. He said, I didn't take any risk. I didn't want to lose it. You know, I feared what you would do if I lost the whole thing, so I didn't take any risk. And you know what the master said? Called him a wicked person. He said, at least you could have put it in the bank and got me some interest. So I think one of the points of this is listen, God has gifted each and every one of you as a child of God, as a created being, as one of God's children, and he's given you talents. He's put you in a place where he wants to use you for the kingdom of God, whether it's your job. He's given you a family, a responsibility. He's given you a church to participate in so that we can reach our community for Christ. If you just hide your talent, if you just sit through 2014, you have to account for that. It's a sobering thing. So don't hide it. Bring it out. Take a risk. I truly believe that God has less of a problem with someone failing taking a risk than someone who's doing nothing. I truly believe there's a sin of doing nothing. I really believe that. You think you're more secure. You think you're more safe. You think that you're doing the right thing. No. God wants you to start something. He wants to make a difference in your life. He wants to use you to make a difference in your surroundings. So you need to take a risk. Everything you want is just outside your comfort zone. Alan said that. Think about that for a moment. A lot of reasons we don't take a risk is, hey, I'm pretty comfortable right now. I don't need any challenges in 2014. So everything that's worth anything is you got to move outside your comfort zone. You never reached out to a neighbor? Hey, that's your comfort zone. I just like to pull in, push the button, my garage goes up, I pull in, I just go to my TV, I go to my back deck, and there you got neighbors around you, just need a little bit of hope, a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of testimony from you how Christ changed your life. So out of your comfort zone is, I don't talk to people. I'm not good with words, but how do you know that God won't anoint you in such a way and use whatever words that you do use to change someone's life? You'll never know it until you take a risk. You'll never know what God can do and what the power of God is until you step out there and take a risk. You never know that your marriage could change. And what I see often, and I don't see it so often, but I read about it a lot, is that couples get to that age where they don't even talk to each other. And guess what? They are totally comfortable in one house not talking to one another. How many grandparents do you know that have done that? Or parents that you know that have done that? They just get comfortable, and yet that's not the way God wants it. So we need to take a risk, move outside our comfort zone. Number three, and that is, accept responsibility. Accept responsibility. Wow. We're so good at making excuses. Well, I really can't do this. I can't do that. You don't understand. You don't understand what pressure's on my life. You don't understand what I came from. You don't understand what my father did, or you don't understand my parents breaking up did this to me. You don't understand how much they're requiring from me on the job. And so you're always avoiding the responsibility of just stepping out, starting something new, believing God for changing your life simply because you don't accept responsibility. Look at Hebrews. Chapter 11, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing. Say the word choosing. Choosing. He made a choice. And the choice was in the area of responsibility. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Accepting responsibility is making a choice. God, here's what Moses did. Moses lived in the lap of luxury in the palace. He was a prince. He had everything he needed, and yet he found out one day, hey, I'm a Jew. And these Jews are going through some persecution, and so he accepted the responsibility. He said, listen, that's my responsibility. I'm going to do it. What is the responsible thing for you to do in 2014? Choose to do it. The responsible thing would be to become everything God wants you to become, but you've got to make a choice. You got to accept the responsibility and do it. John Miller said, there's not a chance we'll reach our full potential until we stop blaming each other and start practicing personal responsibility. As long as you blame others for the condition that you're in and not accept the responsibility. So wouldn't it be nice that even today, even this weekend, we say, God, I want to accept total responsibility for my life. Total responsibility that you called me to be something. You have designed me. You have created me. You have gifted me. You have placed me. Now, Lord, I accept that responsibility as a representative of the kingdom of God, as an ambassador for Christ. And, Lord, I want to do something for the kingdom. And I want it to start right now in me. Man, it'll make a difference at the end of 2014. Number four, release all fears, frustrations, and failures. Release all fears, frustrations, and failures. Fears will keep you from going anywhere. When you've got fear operating in your life, and there are all kind of fears and all kind of phobias operating, but as long as those fears, they'll manipulate your life, they'll control your life, they'll tell you what kind of mood you're going to be in one day, and what kind of mood you're going to be in the other day, how you treat other people. Fears, debilitating. Frustrations and failures come along with us. Again, by faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. You can't tell me that Moses did not fight a battle of fear. Every human being, think about Moses, 40 years with Pharaoh, 40 years in the desert, and now God comes to him. God had to argue with Moses to get him to get back to Egypt. Why? He was fearful. He said, I've tried that route. I've been there. They tried to kill me. I've run from there. Listen, I've been comfortable here in the desert. I got a good wife. I got a good family. We've got a good income here. We're doing fine. And he had to face that fear. He even said, listen, I don't talk right. He said, So he was fighting a battle of fear. Be careful when you read about these heroes of faith. Read in between the lines, because all of them fought fears, frustrations, and failures. But somehow they got a hold of a bigger thing, and that was God. And when they got a hold of that bigger thing, they saw that God was bigger than their fears. And they started something. You're going to have to see God is bigger than any fears that you face. Any failures that you went through, God is more than able to pick you back up and head you out on the right track. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, where the Egyptians attempted to do it, and they were drowned. There they were. He obeyed God. He finally took the step. He moves out. He's got almost 2 million people with him. He gets to the Red Sea, and he looks at that, and now here comes the Egyptian army on their chariots. And for sure, we know the people were fearful. We know the people were complaining, but how do you think Moses felt? Standing out there, don't you think that he was tempted to say, we've had it. God, what did you get me into? We're going to die right here. You don't think the devil came? Listen, it's the same devil 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago as he is today. He's going to tell you in 2014, you cannot do it. Don't even try it. Don't even attempt to improve yourself. You'll never be more than you are today, so accept it and live with it. And it's not true. But Moses got a hold of that big God again. He stretched forth that rod, and it parted. Look at this next verse here. It talks about all of them. He said, for the time would fail me to tell you all about these. That's what the writer is saying, the Gideons and the Barak and Samson, Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith, look at all the things they did. And again, you can't tell me that there wasn't some kind of a temptation to fear when they were faced with lions. I don't know about you, but you throw me into a lion den, I'm going to be afraid. Something's going to hit me about, You know, but they subdued kingdoms, they worked righteous, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness, here's the key, out of weakness were made strong. See, that's what God wants to do for you in 2014. He wants to take that weakness of yours and show you how strong he can be. So start something. Think about an area where, man, I'm pretty weak in that area. I don't know what it might be. You identify it. And then say, God, I'm going to start moving in the direction of that weakness, and I'm going to see by the end of 2014, or could be within a month, that God's going to show how strong he can be through your weakness. And you know what's going to happen when that happens? Your faith in God will grow. And then when he takes you through another thing, your faith will grow. And that's what God wants. He wants your faith to grow so that you could be more of what God called you to be in that situation. The last one. Fifth principle, if we're going to start anything, if we're going to get anywhere, you've got to talk faith. Talk faith. Now, before you begin to think about what in the world, where's he headed with this one? Let me explain it. Talk faith. Every one of these that are listed in Hebrews, there was something about their words. There was something about what they spoke that made a difference. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2 said, for by it, faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. By what? Faith. The testimony was a witness. They talked about faith. They talked about their God. They talked about the bigness of their God. With their mouths, they gave praise to the God that they were serving. As a result of that, they had a testimony. Do you talk about your faith? Do you talk about the difference God has made in your life? Do you talk about believing that God can heal someone? Do you talk about your belief that God's big enough to help someone through that financial? See, talking about it, making mention of it, giving praise for it, makes a difference. Hebrews chapter 11 also, verses 14 and 20 through 22. Listen to these words as I've abbreviated on the screen. For those who say or talk such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. They said it. They talked it. Look at this. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. And then the next one says, by faith, when he was dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph. So picture this. What were they doing? They were talking faith. They took their sons and they put them before them. They laid their hands on them. And what did they do? They talked faith. They talked about their future. They said, Lord, bless this son. Bless my son. Give him a good future. Give him a good wife. Give him children. Let them be a testimony for you. Let them walk the walk that you've called us to walk. They were speaking over their lives, blessing. When you bless them and you speak, you talk. Talk faith. Don't talk negative. Talk faith. So where do you start? Start with the scriptures. That's what you talk first. You say you don't know what to say? Hey, speak the scriptures. Talk about them. For the word of God is living and what? Powerful. Man, when you begin to speak the word of God, it's powerful. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. One of your weapons against, the only offensive weapon against the enemy mentioned in Ephesians is the word of God. Talk the word of God. Speak the word of God over a situation. Say it out loud if you have to. Proverbs chapter 18, 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You either speak death into a situation or you speak life into a situation. Look at Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. The word, Paul said, is near you in your what? It's in your mouth and in your heart. That if you what? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. So I really believe there's some kind of link between the tongue and your heart. For out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when you speaking something, it's revealing that you have faith in your heart. Confess the Lord Jesus Christ. He was raised from the dead. You will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the what? Mouth, confession is made unto salvation. There's something about speaking the word. And here's what I want to say. I want to sum it up. I used all that to sum this up. Stop talking negative. Stop talking negative. The whole world talks negative. All the news is negative. We don't need any more negativity in our lives. We need to talk faith. Now, we're not just talking the kind of fake it till you make it faith. Not talking about that. We're talking faith. I believe. I'm going to bless. I'm going to take this step in faith. I'm going to believe that things are going to be better. You talk the faith. There's that link between your mouth and your heart that's going to make a difference.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.